The weekend shooting in Arizona critically wounded Representative Gabrielle Giffords and killed one of her aides. Also killed were a federal judge and four other people. Now we're getting word that lawmakers are concerned about other potential threats. While Capitol Police and the Senate and House Sergeants at Arms are looking at security arrangements for members and their staffs, Senate Sergeant at Arms Terrence Gaynor says that doesn't necessarily mean that all 535 lawmakers will have bodyguards. Mr. Gaynor now joins us now with more insight into security issues facing lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So security obviously is an issue, always been an issue. What has changed, if anything, by Saturday's shooting?
There'll be a renewed examination of how the members conduct their business in the states. The Capitol Police and the respective Sergeant at Arms office have had a good program of working with the staff members to concentrate on security, but I think now is the time to refresh everybody's memory and when they're planning for one of these events, make sure security is one of the issues that's discussed.
Well, that's pretty much standard operating procedure, you know, coordinating local law enforcement with Capitol Police, even when there are events in other parts of the country, not just on Capitol Hill, right?
Well, it should be, but I think that the members go through so many events, especially smaller ones, more informal ones, like was held this past during this incident, that maybe there's not concentration of that. And local law enforcement, based on my experience, is more than happy to be aware and assign an officer or even just stop by or drive by these events, and we have to make sure of that. But we can also reemphasize that the Capitol Police and the FBI and others need to know when there's threats or crazy telephone calls or unusual letters. Most of the time, they're pretty. The staff is pretty good on that, but sometimes it's not followed up. So we need to know when there's a suspicious thing happening. We need to be part of the planning process so that either we or the local authorities can lend some support.
Now, if a member of Congress, the Senate or the House, say gets a threatening letter or is made aware of something threatening, and the source is known, is that a matter for the local police in the district, if that's where it originates, or is it a matter of the sergeant at arms? I mean, who has jurisdiction in those cases?
Well, it's a combination of those things. The Capitol Police has nationwide jurisdiction to protect the members and their families. But obviously, we work jointly with the local law enforcement and the FBI. So when there's a threat that comes in, telephone, email, letter, the Capitol Police begins the process, shares that responsibility with the FBI, the local state's attorney, or the U.S. attorney to follow up on the case. We probably in the Senate have about 5 of these threats going at any one time. Last year there were 49 threats. The year before there were 29. This is just on the Senate side. And there's been arrest in probably about 25% of those cases and either prosecution or some other type of adjudication of the cases. So the bottom line is this. The Capitol Police, the Sergeant of Arms Office, works with the FBI, the local authorities, the state authorities, the Secret Service to see if we can figure out who's doing what to whom or threatening to do that.
Seems like you've had a lot more threats come through in the past year than in years past, just the numbers that you just quoted. And something we've heard a lot over the past couple of days is the concern over public service and how a shooting like this, threats like the ones you just cited, could have a chilling effect on attracting smart, dedicated people to public service. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't think that will slow it down any more than we've seen the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq slow down the young men and women volunteering for our military. I think some people are very self-actualized. They want to help others, and they see government service or military service as the way to do that. But like anything, we have to be cautious, and we will help explain the process and back up our civilian counterparts the best we can.
We're speaking with the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Terrence Gaynor. And looking over the threats that you're familiar with, say that you said there's about 50 of them in the past year, is there any way that you can characterize the people committing these threats? I mean, we have a young man who was, you know, had posted strange things on the internet and kind of seemed like a familiar profile. Is that in fact the case across all these threats?
Well, generally, it is someone who is fits the type of profile of this offender. Now, some are not. I mean, we look at each one of these that we can identify, and there's all sorts of ways to do that. And we have a good analysts who take a look at who they are, what they are, whether they can carry something out, and what their intention is. By and large, I got to say that most of them seem to have some mental disability, and a lot of these cases end up referring to people to hospital settings.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit, and let me get you to talk about historical perspective and provide us with some insight into that. Are these unusual times that we're in now? Have we seen this before? Is this merely a cyclical pendulum swinging type thing?
I think the ease with which people can communicate now makes it easier for people to threaten. You know, if you jump back not too many years ago, when the social networks, when emailing was not as easy, you only had a couple of ways, in person, by the telephone, or by letter. Now with emailing and the other social networks, it's a lot easier for people to rant and rave. And I would agree with the conversation and definitely the remarks of Sheriff Dubnyk in Arizona, that there's people seem to be louder than they should be and not thinking before they speak.
And I wanted to ask you also about what the members feel about security. I imagine there's probably a culture of not wanting to overdo security because it separates them from the people and might give them an imperious look that they don't want to have. Generally, members want to at least seem accessible and ordinary to the public. Is that an issue for the protection that you have to provide?
Tom, I think you're spot on. The members appreciate what the Capitol Police do, especially obviously on the Hill, but they do not want it to be overbearing. We try to, we'll have some 3 million visitors, some 30,000 employees up there, and we want to make it very open. The members, too, do not want to be impeded by law enforcement. They want access, they want to be with the public, and they want freedom of movement. And but they're also sensitive to the fact that things need to be made safe. Even those members who have personal protection, or those who protect the executive branch of Secret Service, generally that's a pretty uncomfortable thing for the members, because you have someone in your car, in your home, in your face pretty much 24/7. And that's unusual for people. So it's a continued little battle between those we protect and the officers who do that to make sure that the protectees are comfortable, that they know the officers are there and are very confidential about what they see and hear.
And I imagine, too, that the officers themselves and the people under your command also take it pretty gosh darn hard when something like this happens. It's almost personal for you, isn't it?
Oh, I believe that's the case. This is very frustrating for the law enforcement community all over the United States when anybody is killed. You know, and what we do is law enforcement officers are in the business to prevent these type of tragedies. So when they happen, we all go back and say, what could we have done differently? How did I fail the people I was supposed to protect? So it is personal. And those men and women and the Capitol Police or the officers out in the local area in Arizona, they take this very personally.
Can you give us a piece of advice? The feds who are out there listening right now, what should they be doing to be proactive to help you do what it is you do?
All federal employees or city, state, or the citizens in general, if you see something suspicious, and I know we almost overuse that frame, but if you run into individuals and circumstances where you don't feel right, you've got to pick the phone up or say something to someone, because individuals like this offender down in Arizona, they don't operate in a vacuum. And now that we see people talking about this kid, they'll say, geez, something wasn't right, something wasn't right, something wasn't right. Well, when your gut tells you something's not right, you got to do something about it.
Senate Sergeant at Arms Terry Gaynor, thank you so much, sir, for joining us this morning. We know you have a very busy day ahead, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.